From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, too.
Just make sure to get a bunch of still, like Oliver and Mike.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Welcome once again to another Beers with the Brewers. We're back in the Kickstarter room where we belong. So joining me today is Walt Keyes. He's over there ready.
I'm ready.
Chris Helderman.
Hello.
I'm Mark. And joining us today, special guest from the Columbus Curling Club, Jeff Pelletier.
Good curling, everyone.
Oh, man, good curling is right. You could do some good curling with one of these Bonspiels in you for real.
Dude. Pretty good Bonspiel.
Bonspiel's back.
Yeah.
You know, there's four of us, just like curling, right, Jeff?
That is true.
We're going to work out some positions real quick right now. Out of lead, second, vice, skip, and skip. Let's assign positions. And who is more qualified than you, Jeff?
Well, I'm sure you
This is like positions of the podcast, or if we were going curling right now, what would we do?
We're curling. This is an episode about curling. We're curling right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So if we're curling, I'm probably going to put Mark lead, because I feel like you know just enough to get some stones in play.
That's right. And I'm going first anyway, right?
You're going first anyway.
Got to get those blockers.
Yep. Got to get the blockers out there. That's right, Chris.
So I feel like Walt might make a pretty decent second.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I was pretty bad the one time I tried to curl.
And that's why you're second.
Okay.
We can cover up your mistakes.
Gotcha.
So
perfect.
I'm actually going to put Chris at skip, because I feel like he's kind of running this brewery operation, and I'm there to vice, do a little bit of everything, help him out with those last couple shots.
I like it. And then, Chris, you come in and clean it up with the hammer. The hammer throw, if we're second in turn, right?
Yes.
We call that the hammer.
That is what we call it.
So we're talking about Bonspiel Porter this week, and Bonspiel, what does that even mean, Bonspiel?
It's like the best word in the world, I feel like. I remember we were trying to come up with a name for this beer the first time we brewed it, and I don't think it was an Olympic year, but I think maybe, Mark, you had just been over to curl or had met some folks from the curling club, or something. Curling was on our mind for whatever reason.
So we have the kind of Beers with Columbus Bonspiel, right? The Beers of Ohio Bonspiel.
Yeah, maybe it was right after that.
And it was right after that, and we had participated in that with our beers. As a result, got invited over, got kind of a learn to curl, and then not only Land Grant, but a few other breweries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think maybe when we were over there at the club, I saw something about a Bonspiel here or there, and I took that with me and didn't know what the word meant necessarily, but looked it up after the fact. And I don't know, what a perfect name for a beer, you know?
Yeah, I think a perfect beer for curling, and we also found out that day, curling's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and if you are wondering what a Bonspiel is, it's pretty much just any curling tournament, right?
That's true.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's a fun, sort of festive... I don't know. It's a word that makes you feel good, so it fit this beer perfectly.
We host a few Bonspiels at our club throughout the year, so we have a ladies' Bonspiel in October, the Beers of Columbus, which Mark mentioned, which is probably one of our most popular ones in December, and then a men's spiel coming up in March, the Slider Spiel.
Yeah, the Slider Spiel. Wow. Day three on that one. You know about those White Castle sliders?
How's Land Grant fared at the Beers of Columbus Bonspiel in years past?
Land Grant is the sponsor, if you will, of the A bracket. So that's where the teams that win their first couple games and advance into the top bracket compete for the overall championship. And so that's the Land Grant bracket.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, so it's not us Land Granters playing.
It's not.
Local
it's
breweries not. Are sending beer and sponsoring. I get it.
Yeah, we do a lot of purchasing for as much of the local stuff as we can. We want to showcase Columbus beer, because we get a lot of teams coming in from other clubs around the country, and we want to show them that we have a pretty good beer scene in addition to our great curling scene.
Yeah, I know we've got a trophy on display, don't we?
We do from the very first one. It was kind of like a coaster.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah. The coasters are in high demand. Teams come back every year to try to win to get the next year's coaster and have a full set at home.
Yep. We still have that in the display case here in the tap room, proudly displayed. Mm-hmm. So, Bonspiel Porter, it's chocolatey, roasty.
It's a bit nutty.
It's nutty.
And easy. You just like any excuse to do it. Austin Powers quote, don't you?
I'll take any I get.
They don't come up very often in 2019.
So Jeff selected our taco pairings this week as our honorary participant. Taco and chili by Jeff.
Yeah, so I had to refer my taco recommendation to a taco expert in my office, and she recommended the barbecue short rib taco. And if you want to make that a vegetarian option, you could go with roasted potatoes.
Ooh. Oh, Hans, get on that. That's better than a cheese pizza. Well, maybe. Yeah. Sometimes.
Is there anything that doesn't go with a cheese pizza, though, really?
Beer in a can always goes with it. And then from there, yeah. I think pizza and any beer.
Yeah.
It's perfect pairing. Yeah.
And then for the chili, I had two. So the chocolate notes in the porter would go well with the chocolate chili, which is delicious. And then if you want to mix it up and add a little spice, we have a award-winning buffalo chicken chili that we make from time to time.
Whoa.
Ooh, wow.
I like that idea.
I can't understand why you don't have a crock pot of that today, but
I had to shovel my driveway this morning, so I did not have time to prepare that chili. Yeah.
It's pretty domestic tasks.
Pretty messy out there in Columbus. Yeah.
It's ugly out there.
Events?
Well,
speaking
what's
of
coming
snow
out?
And slush and not wanting to leave your house, why don't you come down and spend some time with us?
I think it's cleared up now. Yeah,
it's clear, all melted.
Cleared up.
It's all,
come out.
It's all in your basement now. So defend our beer. We've talked about this a couple weeks now in a row. That's coming up on the 27th, which is next week. Defend Our Future is an organization that focuses on clean water and environmental protection for our waterways, and they are going to have a conversation about how climate change and clean water and all the environmental regulations and all that stuff affects our good old quality beer. So it's going to be a round panel or a round table thing. I think Vinny, who our sustainability guy here, will be on that talking about beer and clean water. So come out for that. If you're listening to this today, Thursday, come out tomorrow for the launch of Bonspiel. I know a lot of Columbus Curling Club folks will be down here, play some shuffleboard.
Indeed.
Pick their brain about curling or the club, or if you've been curious about it, come out and find out more. Or just come out and drink some Bonspiel.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Man.
Or come drink a different beer, but come hang out with us. It'll be fun. Good way to end your week. And then down the road a little bit, all the way to March 20th, which I'm sure will be just beautiful, we are launching our movie series. That'll be back in the beer garden throughout the warm months this year. We did a short one last year for Halloween, but should last from March till, I don't know, I guess Halloween.
Yeah, kicking it off golf style with that greenskeeper.
Yeah,
right?
We got greenskeeper coming back in a big way for the warmer months. And so we are going to do a couple of golf-themed movies to start off the movie series, starting with Caddyshack on the 20th and Happy Gilmore the following Thursday on the 27th. So put that on your calendar.
Roger that.
That's all I got.
So, Chris, I got to tell you, this was the very first a porter, just an English porter, stock standard, basic porter, was the first beer I ever brewed in 1995 as a home brewer.
How crushable was
it? I love this style. It was very freaking crushable.
Your first try. You nailed it.
Yeah. Nailed it.
All right. Here you are.
I read some books, kept it clean, sanitized, and saw that was the theme of everything, was make sure everything's sanitized.
Yeah. My first home brew was using a Cooper's extract set, and it was not drinkable.
What sour you brew? Trying to brew.
It was, I can't remember, the Cooper's Light something or other.
Ooh, okay.
Which, looking back, if you know anything about brewing,
homebrewing a light beer,
homebrewing a light beer is not your best option. The porter was definitely the way to go.
Definitely
you can hide a bit more a bit more flaws than that. But you always think like, oh well, light beer. I mean, there's not a whole lot of flavor going on there. It should be pretty easy to brew. Actually, hardest style to brew.
Mm-hmm. I've never homebrewed. I've sat in on many of Adam's homebrews, but he's always kind of run the show, which is great because then he's got to deal with all the mess.
You just get to drink some beers.
Yeah, it was a lot of standing around drinking beer while Adam was doing all the heavy lifting and cleaning and
that is how every one of my homebrew days went, where people were like, yeah, we'd like to come hang out or homebrew with
you.
You
like to
like, awesome.
Stand around me and while you drink beer?
Sure. And you get five people there standing around drinking beer while you did all the work.
Yeah. Jeff, have you ever homebrewed?
I have not. My college roommate did, and I think his first one was some kind of amber. Also did not go well. So, but he figured it out. By our senior year, he was making some good stuff.
Nice.
Well, I think what we found out is it takes beer to make beer, and it's pretty fun all the way around.
Yeah. Takes beer to make beer. I like that, Mark.
Chris, what you know about them porters?
So porters have been around for 300 years or so in London, and it's a very popular style.
London,
but
England.
Well, in England.
Not London, Ohio?
London, England.
Up by Springfield and almost to Dayton.
But I don't know. If you've heard me on the podcast, you know I kind of like fun stories that may or may not be true about particular styles. And one of the stories I like about porters is it was actually drank by porters back in the day. Those people that carry things for you are called porters.
You know, I'd always wondered that.
Yeah.
If there was a relationship there with those two words.
And according to this this story, there is. And
I like it.
Part of that was they couldn't afford to drink stouts. And so porters were originally a mix of stale beer and stouts and other things. It was a mixture.
A blend, have you.
A blend. And so that made the beer cheaper so the porters could afford to drink it.
Huh.
Now, how much of this is true, I have no idea.
I hope it's all true. That's a good story.
But yeah, I like the story. That.
Well, this is no poor man's beer, I'll tell you that. It's pretty tasty.
And then later they started actually brewing a beer to this style.
Right on.
We do not take stale beer and mix it with said stout and
I'd
get
save
this
us
beer.
Some money, wouldn't it? You know?
Well, lucky Maybe for you, Walt, we don't have a lot of stale beer laying around.
Yeah, got him.
Oh, that might tie in nicely with our question later.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
It's what we call
it. It's called a tease.
A tease.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
just in the industry. We got it. Stick around.
So, let's see. The beer stats for Bonspiel. ABV is 5.5. So, I guess we technically can't call it sessionable because that would be under 5. But it's pretty darn close. It's
pretty close to sessionable. Yeah. Tastes sessionable.
Very much so. IBUs of 27. You're not really too concerned with that in a porter. It's just enough to give it balance. The hops we used in it were Galena and Tetnang. Most people haven't really had Galena a whole lot, and we actually used it in another beer, and I got a face full of Galena hops, and it was I fell in love all over again. No, it was the Galena hops, they have some nice fruity flavors and some stuff that I hadn't smelled in a long time, so I thought that was pretty cool.
That is cool.
You know, we just got our normal pale ale malt, some dark crystal, brown malt, chocolate malt, some caramel malts. So just your, I don't know, standard porter malts. We didn't do anything crazy there. But, yeah, you get your appearance is going to be a dark brown, the aroma, some nutty, roasty, chocolatey notes. And then the taste, I get some roasty bitterness, some chocolate. I get a lot of dark chocolate. And on the back end, I get some... dark chocolate bitterness and some breadiness.
Yeah, it's got a lot to it. At the same time, I taste some crushability in there as well.
Yeah, it's pretty light tasting style. In the past years, we've called this a robust porter. This year, we are just calling it a porter, and that's what it is.
It is a porter. It's just a porter. It's not a robust, for sure. So, Chris, that being said...
How crushable is it?
All right, what do you got, Chris?
I give this a 4-crusher.
4-crusher?
Man.
Wally?
I'm going... I don't know. I tend to not crush the darker beers, but I'm going to go 3.
I'll tell you what, a crazy thing. I've been extremely conservative lately with my crushability scale. Once again, I'll say, don't drive a car, operate heavy machinery.
Or try to host a podcast.
Oh, sure. I'm going to go ahead and say 5-crusher on this. Easy.
Five.
I'm going five. I'm going the full. Yeah. I. Not a full six pack, but.
Oh, man.
Yeah. If I've got a driver, full five.
That's strong.
I would say if I was participating in a bond spiel, let's say, if I was doing something, I could definitely keep this going. If you have a, I don't know how long bond spiels take, or how long a little.
Yeah, it's like all weekend.
It's all weekend.
I guess a bond spiel would take all weekend, but how long does a match take?
So a game can be about 2 hours.
2 hours. Yeah.
So
That'd be, I don't know. I think I'm still at four.
Four. Yeah.
So one of the interesting things about curling, however, is beer is actually built in the rules, right?
That's true. So I would give this a three because I would drink one during a game, during the course of the game. And then at the end of every game, the team who wins would buy beer for the team who lost. So either you win the game or you get a free beer. So there's another one. And then the losing team would normally pay back in kind that same beer. So there's your third one.
Wow.
Well, there it is.
Some sportsmanship right there.
Well, that being said, I may be a six crusher.
That seems like a six crusher for me. I got two per hour while I'm playing and then two at the end. Yep. So.
Okay, so Chris is jumping on board.
All right.
We're probably at about a five on this.
I'll go up to four. That's fine.
All right. Yeah. Everybody out there, do the math. We got a six, six, five, and a four. Three. You're only a three.
Well, now I'm feeling peer pressured into going up to a four.
No, don't feel peer pressure.
No, you guys are making me drink. Yeah. So.
No way. No, we don't believe in peer pressure around here. You should drink to your limit.
4.75?
That sounds great, Chris. Good math.
I don't think that's right, but that's what I did.
That kind of sportsmanship leads me to believe that curling has a Canadian origin. Is that correct?
It was originated in Scotland, but I think the Canadians have certainly owned the brand of this sport recently.
Okay.
There is a lot of sportsmanship. You always shake hands before every match and wish one another good curling. And you're complimentary of all good shots, whether it's yours or your opponent. And then you try to downplay a good shot of your own. You don't want to, you know, you're not going to see any like people streaking across the ice celebrating a really good shot.
Yeah. That's,
just be courteous, Walt. Yeah. It's not that hard.
Right.
We could all be so courteous all the time.
I think that the rules of curling should apply to all phases of life.
Yeah. Maybe bond spiel will inspire people to behave that way.
What would bond spiel do? I've got the bracelet right here.
Interesting. So when I was researching some curling terms and everything, I came across that I didn't know it originated in Scotland, but I did read that 60 to 70% of all curling rocks come from the Granite Mountains in Scotland. Still,
there's one island, one island off the coast of Scotland, Alisa Craig, where most of the granite is mined that is used to make the curling stones that are in use all over the world.
And these are costly. A set of curling stones is really costly.
Yeah, they start maybe around $500 a piece, and then can go up from there for the ones that are used in professional competitions. So
I'm guessing shipping and freight is not cheap on a set of curling stones.
Yeah,
yeah. It's,
they're anywhere between 38 to 44 pounds, so about 40-pound stones. The club owns all of their own stones, so they're not owned by any individual member. So it's not like bowling where you have to bring your own stone to the ice all the time.
So I learned some new stone information just on them being trued, and also how if they haven't been trued in a while, like you can kind of get the gist of how, because these stones are numbered. They're like 1 through 8 for your team. You curl 2 and then go through the 4 positions.
What do you mean by 8? Trued?
So they'll kind of sand them down so they kind of have a box that they put them in. It's like has like a fine sandpaper type of base, and they scrape across, turn it, scrape across again.
Just make sure it's even.
To kind of, to kind of true it up. But I was very interested last week. Craig was sharing with me how if you play there a lot and you know these stones, how you can know which ones cut in and which ones don't until they've been trued, and then it's just a scramble again on finding your best stone. So
that's true.
That is next level.
That is
knowing your stone stuff, though, for me.
Yeah, some of our skips who have been there for a while know, depending on what sheet they're on, you know, if you're throwing lead, they might ask you to throw the 6 and 7 stones because they want them out of the way early and save those first two stones for later on.
Because they know they're crappy stones.
That's right.
And that's
and a sheet is the strip of ice, right?
That's right.
Quote unquote court that you're playing on.
Yeah. A sheet of ice per se.
Yeah, you might say that. Yeah.
And we have 3 at our club.
So with all these different rocks that you kind of get to know, stones. is that kind of frowned upon?
No, I think it's all part of the strategy. They'll, you know, during professional tournaments, they'll have a lot of practice time in the whatever venue they're playing in, and they'll really get to know each stone, how it kind of behaves, and on any given sheet of ice, so that plays into your strategy of whether you want to be throwing yellow stones or red stones as well. So there's always a coin toss to determine which team will go first or second. And as Mark said, you going second is the advantageous position with hammer. And then the other team has the option to choose the color of rocks that they want to use.
Okay, so like if I go to a tournament at the Columbus Curling Club, you guys have the stones.
Right.
So I would never bring my own stones.
You would not. Mm-hmm. No. You would,
interesting.
You would bring.
This is crazy.
You'd probably destroy your car if you tried to put them all in there.
You'd bring your own broom if you had one, and probably your own shoes at least. And then, you know, some folks go crazy with the pants and the jacket and all the gear that goes along with it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and the thing I found really interesting when we went curling is how you guys like pebble the ice and it's got a texture to it.
Right.
So it's not like. I mean, there's the slickness to it, but it's not like walking out on a hockey rink where, if you're not paying attention, you're gonna, land on your ass pretty quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's like a texture to it that makes it easier to walk around on and everything.
And it's easier to walk around, and it's easier for the stones to move from one end to the other as well. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, if that was a smooth sheet of ice like a Zamboni on a hockey ice or skating ice, because the stone kind of has a concave pocket on the bottom of it, so it's really just the outer rim of the stone that's making contact. It would just be like a suction cup onto a smooth surface, so it actually enables that stone to curl on the ice and move down it.
Yeah, there's a great deal of physics involved in the sport, which I haven't quite figured out yet.
Hey man, there's time. You're not in a hole yet. Keep trying. So I'd say Ray Ray's wise. We always like to give our Ray Ray pairing. I'm going Hot Link all the way.
I think that's
this.
A good call. I think it's perfect. The Hot Link.
I think I would
eat
it. I would drink anything with a Hot Link.
I think
right now
everyone at the brewery is eating a Hot Link with everything.
Jeff, have you had one of these yet?
I've not had the Hot
They're
Link yet.
So darn
it's
good.
Got a Hatch chili in there. Some oozy American cheese.
Or Cheese of America.
James likes to call it. Class it up a little bit. It's but it's. Outstanding.
I would drink dirty pond water with one of those, and
I'll
be happy.
Tell you, man, they are next to heaven. Those things are so good. I'm on them hard right now.
I don't know how you all work here every day with Ray Ray's just out in your parking lot.
That's actually how we all work here every day, is knowing we have them in the parking lot. Yeah.
That's how we get through Monday through Wednesday as well. At least on Thursday, I can have some Ray Ray's.
Yeah. Looking forward to lunch on Thursday. That's right. Love our Ray Ray's out there. So we had a question from a listener this week. Brandon King asked us via Instagram, have there been any beers you've brewed that you were personally very excited about but weren't well received by the public? Ooh, that's a... I've got an opinion on that. I think I have at least one beer that I would throw out to that. Chris, as the brewer on Beers with the Brewers, what would you say?
So, I think I took this question a little differently than Mark did. One of the beers I was super excited about. So we had it was a blueberry coffee pale ale, I think it was. But some of the coffees that you can get have a nice blueberry character at the end. And I was thinking, oh man, if we can make like a beer that tastes like a blueberry muffin. And then you put coffee with it, that'll kind of pair in together, and it'll be like one of them, I actually had this for breakfast this morning. I had two blueberry muffins and a couple cups of coffee. And so I was super excited to put that out. We added a bunch of blueberries to this. And it came out. And, well, it never got past interesting for most people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was very polarizing in the tap room. We had some people that were coming in asking if they get growlers of it and everything else. And other people, they would, you know, order a taster and politely order something else. but for me, it never got past interesting. It was not bad. I would not describe it as good, but it was definitely very interesting.
So in concept, you were all behind it, but then when it came out, you're kind of like, this is interesting, but nothing that I want to drink all day.
Yeah, and if we were to do it again, I think I could make some improvements, but I don't know that it would still ever get past interesting.
Yeah, right on. Well, I mean, surely a good concept, especially with the blueberry and coffee. Wally?
I'm going to look at it from a branding standpoint of a beer that that came out that I really liked the label and the way it looked and everything and had high hopes for the beer. And I enjoyed the beer, but I just didn't do super well in the market. And so we haven't made it since. I don't know. Maybe we will again someday. But going with Endless Patio on that one. I love the look of that can. This was a Petite Saison.
Yeah.
And I don't know. For whatever reason, it just didn't hit.
It's the only label that I actually appear on in image. Gus and I on the
and
patio.
That's not why I like it, but
definitely not why we like it.
No, I had an endless summer kind of thing, and I don't know. I always liked it, and maybe we'll go back to it. I kind of stole its colors and sort of as part of the idea for Sundrip, but
yeah.
Great Beach Boys album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Endless Summer.
So, Jeff, you had a curling club related one because you bring in all the beer for the curlers to drink.
I do, yeah. So that's, people are, you know, if anyone in the club's listening, they're probably like, why the hell did they invite Jeff? Well, I get to buy the beer, so I get to do that. But, yeah, so I obviously, you know, would like to give people something new to try out and not make the cooler look like just my tastes alone. But I really enjoy the pool party in the summer and the early fall. It's a great beer. So mm-hmm. bought some of that for my club mates thinking, oh, this will be a hit. It's a nice, refreshing beer. It's not an IPA. It's not a stout. And it did not sell well. I was disappointed.
It's a shocker, too, because that's a, boy, speaking about crushability, that's a crusher right there. I think Foley de Mars. I think that it was a fantastic beer to guard by recipe, but I just don't. And I thought the poster was fun too.
Good name, great name. Adam came up with
great name.
Foley de Mars is March Madness in French.
Yeah, and it came out right at March Madness time. And I just don't know if everybody in Columbus, Ohio, wants a beer to guard. That's all I would say about that because it was an excellent example of style. I enjoyed it quite a bit, but I don't know. Maybe Belgian beers are just a niche market anymore.
Yeah.
I would say that beer, too. It was had some of the bad juju you get from nobody knows what a beer de garde is.
Right.
Nobody knows what Foley de Mars means.
Yeah, a lot of confusion, maybe.
And
but
so, and it's a darker beer, which some people just shy away from anyway.
Yeah. We do the speed round thing?
Right. So, you know, curling, obviously, Olympic sport, got a lot of publicity when our men's team won the gold medal here about a year ago. So we thought, hey, what other kind of non-mainstream Olympic sports are out there that you guys could either make a beer with or pair one of your existing beers with?
What's a steeplechase?
Steeplechase is you run, and it's like a distance run, but you have there's like a hurdle element, and you have to jump over like a pool of water.
Huh.
Yeah.
You jump? Are you on a horse for this?
There is steeplechase on a horse, and there's steeplechase running.
So in a steeplechase, and yeah, you're not on a horse for this at all.
There is steeplechase that is a horse race, and it's a similar thing. They have to jump over hurdles throughout the race.
But then this is where a person has to jump over a puddle.
Where it's a person. There's a hurdle, and directly behind the hurdle is like a little bit of water. So you have to clear the hurdle. But by a certain distance.
This is very similar to what we have going on outside today on the sidewalks. That's in Columbus.
We're all hurdling puddles for sure.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, with the puddles and the mud and all that, I think you got to go, son of a mutter on that one.
Son of a mutter.
I mean, come on.
Obvious pick. That's a good pick, Walt.
Nailed it. All right. How about we got next. So we have beach volleyball here, and my initial thought was pool party, duh.
Pool party all the way.
But then, if you go down the list a little
water
bit.
Water polo.
You got water polo. Oh,
that's pool party.
Oh, that's pool party. That's the pool party. Okay, that's right. Okay.
So what about beach volleyball? What would you drink at a beach volleyball match?
I'd say urban sombrero because you're going to need a big sombrero.
That's a good call. And you think of beaches, you think of Mexican lager. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we got ski jump and luge. So I'm thinking like some sort of Austrian, German precision on that one. So I don't know, a good Austrian Pilsner or something.
Go with the...
doesn't have to be a Landgrand beer, right?
Well, go with the Stevesy. How about a Helles? How about take it over?
There you go.
Take it over one country.
Steve's would be good.
See, I would take the luge out and I'd go straight skeleton. Because that's a crazy sport.
So that's
going
to be... What is our highest alcohol beer?
Yeah, skeleton. So skeleton is the luge.
The luge is just your body?
No, it's head first.
Head first.
Head first.
Yeah. It's insane.
So instead of, you know, becoming paralyzed, if you crash, you just die.
I'd say, like, you got to be drinking, like, a dropout stout or something.
Do you go as fast as a luge?
Yes.
Faster. It is literally the same thing.
It's more
aerodynamic. You're just facing downhill.
It's kind of like they took the bobsled and then started removing people and equipment until you're down to almost
It's like someone took a radio flyer, like, sled back from, like, the 60s or 70s and said, hey, why don't we go down a bobsled run on this?
Head first. All right, we got... biathlon, which involves shooting a rifle, so it's got to be
no beer. Light. No beer. Don't give the guy with the gun any water.
Right, that beer would definitely be water. Like post.
Yeah, wait till you're done.
Okay, fair enough. Badminton. I didn't even know that was an Olympic sport.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, badminton is kind of like a lawn sport. You need a nice manicured
lawn. I've played
it
in the backyard.
You need a nice, nicely mowed lawn.
I think they played a hard court.
So I'm going greenskeeper on that one.
Oh, I see what you did there,
Walt.
You
can't have any potholes or anything. You'll break your ankle, you know?
All right. Well, hey.
That's what I got.
Rare Olympic sports and beer pairings. I think that was pretty good.
That's not bad. Yeah.
So next week on Beers with the Brewers, we're going to be talking about Overprint
IPA. Imperial IPA.
Oh,
11%, Mark.
Big boy. That's a big boy.
This is
going to
be low on the crushability scale.
Well, you're not even going to be here next week.
No, I will not be. I'll be in Utah.
No, we'll miss you, bud.
Go Utes. What will I drink while skiing?
Beer.
I don't know. Something from Utah.
That's a good idea if you're going to be in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks again, Brandon King. Come down to the tap room and grab your... LGU t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the question. Thanks for listening. And Jeff.
Good curling. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Good curling. Peace out, y'all. Tip your bartenders.
Good curling.
Good curling.